There's always one in the crowd. There's always one in the crowd. Well, welcome to our very first Christmas Eve service for the Light of Christ Church. And God has blessed us and is continuing to bless us in so many ways that we just want to just honor Him tonight and tomorrow. So if we can prepare our hearts for worship and just bow our heads. Oh God, we come to You and thank You. Lord, we thank You for sending Your Son that He may be born as one of us, Lord, to die for us. That we may have eternal life with You, to have the reconciliation with You. And Lord, I open this service, Lord, and just pray that the Holy Spirit leads it. Lord, I ask that You anoint all those here, Lord, to receive Your word. And Lord, I ask for the anointing to be able to teach it and speak it. Lord, we just want to honor You tonight and glorify You and Your name. And Lord, prepare our hearts as we proceed. In Jesus' name, amen. You can stand if you're able. So,
that's it. Y'all can be seated.
You know, I don't know who wrote. Why do they have to make Christmas carols so hard to sing?
I can't go to church longer.
I sang both of them today twice already. And the same thing happened.
Oh, so look who she's been out there leading.
Well, doesn't always work that way. Does not.
Merry Christmas,
Lady. Yeah. And yes, I'm recording the whole thing. Tonight's title to the message is called The Word Became Flesh. I'm going to start out by reading Luke 2, 1 through 21. But before we do that, I'm going to pray for the offering. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the blessings that we receive. Lord, I just ask that you further your kingdom. Lord, and we thank you. Lord, we thank you. We're so undeserving. But because of you, we continue to move forward to honor you and to glorify you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke 2, 1 through 21, which is the Christmas story. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up to Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And he went there to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told by them, the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered that in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. What a story, huh? What a story. It's almost unbelievable. It's almost unbelievable. You have a virgin that got pregnant by the Holy Spirit and gave birth to a child. This is one that goes beyond our comprehension. But part of what it means to be a Christian is to believe the unbelievable. And this is called faith. That the historical human person, Jesus, who was born in a stable in a little village outside Jerusalem called Bethlehem, some 2,000 years ago, was actually God in the flesh. God in the flesh. This inconceivable proposition in incarnation means that the beginning of his birth, the human baby named Jesus was fully God and fully man in one person. By faith, we believe this. And it will be so forever. God became man forever. That little infant in the manger was Emmanuel, God with us. There's so much proof that Jesus is God, and this is one of them. This is one of them. Paul expressed the incarnation in this way in Colossians 2:9. It says, "In him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." Think of that. Jesus just wasn't some appearance of God or a theophany. And a theophany is when you have the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus, pre-incarnate in the Old Testament. That's called a theophany. That's called a theophany. That's not what it was. Nor was he merely a misunderstood teacher of love who ended up getting crucified like many others of that time. And when we see the crucifixion, they killed people by crucifixion because it was the most degrading, the most humiliating way to kill somebody. And that's how Jesus died. For us. He was God in the flesh, immortal. He was in invisible spirit, clothed with human hair, skin, blood, all put together with bone and muscle. What's that talking about? It's talking about us. That's how we're put together. That's how we're put together. God became one of us. And in his humiliation, God had to breathe and eat and drink and sleep. And when he got cut, he bled. He was human. He longed for companionship and truly suffered when his friends deserted him. When friends desert us, don't we feel that need to reach out to have that companionship? We need that. We feel that need. You know, when God made Adam, he knew that he needed somebody human, and he made Eve for a relationship, for an earthly relationship. Yes, God had a relationship with Adam, but it was a different kind of relationship. He wanted somebody here on earth. He's one of our kind. And as we share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things. Hebrews 2:14 tells us that. He came to earth to be one of us, so he knows exactly what we go through, exactly how we feel, our pain, our hurts, our broken bones. Although his were never broken. But yet, he knows exactly what we go through. To this day, he remains one of us. This truth is the foundation for all our comfort forever. Forever. The incarnation brings unceasing hope and an end to our exile, wandering, and despair. We don't have to do that anymore. And there's great comfort for our souls in the truth that he is just like us. That he can relate. When we go to God, and God, I got this thing going on. Not only does he know, but he can relate to it. Even with temptation. He spent 40 years in the wilderness in temptation. every temptation that could ever be, he went through. Why? So he knows exactly how we can be tempted as humans. So here's why. The incarnation tells us that even though we sin, we're not alone. Even though we're weak and finite, he knows that weakness and morality, what they are, because he was weak and mortal just like us. He knows exactly what it is. And even though we continually fail, he has committed himself to be a part of a race of failures. And he has done so forever. How do we continuously fail? We sin. We can't stop sinning because of the sin nature. We fail at it all the time. But because of God's grace, he lifts us up. He lifts us up. But he became part of our race. And he is the only one that's never sinned. He doesn't use our bodies merely as an inhuman dwelling place, like some seedy motel that he just can't wait to get out of. No, he assumes our nature completely and will be the God-man forever throughout eternity. The birth of Jesus sets Christianity apart from any other religion. The thought that God would become man is without parallel in any other faith. In no other religion does a God do anything more than tell his subjects what to do and controls them. God doesn't do that. He gives us a will. He gives us a choice. In no other religion does one of their gods become weakened in a faint part of his creation. He doesn't come down. The gods of the Greek mythology and the Roman gods and everything else, they're nothing. They're nothing. With his birth, God becomes so completely one of us that people who lived with him didn't notice anything special about him. Jesus' deity was perfectly covered in human flesh. Completely. In fact, when he went to his own village in Nazareth, the people who had known him for many years did not receive him. Is not this the carpenter's son, they asked? Is not his mother called Mary? Even his own family didn't know that he was God in the flesh. He was that blended in with us. That his own family had no idea what kind of deity he was. Not even his brothers believed him, John 7:5 tells us. But what did Jesus look like? Well, he looked like a regular guy. His form was just like ours. Take a minute, and just look at each other. Right? That's how ordinary he looks. Right? He looked just like you. When you go home, look in the mirror. You look just like him. Why? Because you're created in his image and likeness. He had eyes, pores, hair, teeth. If you'd see him, you wouldn't have thought anything special. He didn't have any sort of magnetism that would make you take a second look. It wasn't like, oh. No, he was a normal guy. He looked like a 20 or 30 something carpenter on any construction site. You know, we see pictures of Jesus hanging in all kinds of places, but the fact is, we don't really know what he looks like. If he walked in this room right now, you wouldn't know who he was. I mean, our spirits might connect because he's God. He looked just like us in the flesh. His complete identification with us shouldn't have taken his colleagues by surprise, right? Because 700 years before his birth, the prophet Isaiah spoke of how normal the Messiah would appear. And he says he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He willingly took a servant's form and was born into the likeness of men. He was fully human. And And he took that form. If he wasn't born as a baby and he just came 30 years old, would we have believed him? No. We could have said, he's just another sorcerer out there. Right? But no, he became one of us. He grew up as a child to be like us. But what was baby Jesus like? Did he have some sort of radioactive glow about him? Like, whoa! Maybe a little halo? Right? See pictures of Jesus got a little halo on. How about some cherubs floating around? Right? Little angels floating around his head. No. When he was born, he looked like any other Middle Eastern baby. Right? He needed birth. He needed fed. Needed his diaper changed. God in the flesh. We don't see that. That he really came as one of us. That he came as one of us. Wrapped in rags and nursing in his mother's breast. And he cried just like us. He cried just like us. But unlike ancient mythical gods, Jesus was no naughty demigod stripped of his powers and cast down to earth as a punishment. No. Jesus isn't Thor or Poseidon or Zeus or anybody else. God the Son freely volunteered to become one of us and to forever take on what it meant to be human. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. 2 Corinthians. See, the incarnation isn't a punishment on the Son. It's an act of his love. It's an act of his love. A voluntary humiliation. He gladly made himself nothing. He who had everything, who was Lord of all and God most high, our Creator, become a poor servant, your servant, out of love for you, his beloved. He came to serve you and win you with his love. He became one of our own so that we could be his own. Jesus came to earth to reunite us with God through the ultimate sacrifice in his own life. He became a living sacrifice. And John 3:17 says, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. By sacrificing himself on the cross, he took the punishment for all our sins at once, and this made him the ultimate sacrifice. And once and for all, he satisfies the demands of God's justice. But first, he had to become man. He could have never went to the cross if he didn't come, and if he wasn't a man. The animals, the sacrifice of the animals, did no good. It just covered our sin. It just covered our sin. But because Jesus came and was born, it took a human man to die, to shed his blood for human. I just think that's just... He had to be born as a man first. Luke 2:18, it says, all these marveled. The NIV says, and all who heard it were amazed. See, we can all celebrate Christmas by being amazed at the birth of our Savior. In one sense, all the acts of God are legitimate grounds for such amazement. When we look at the Bible from cover to cover and everything that God has done, we can't help but be amazed. We can't help but to be amazed at God. If we turn back to the earliest chapters of Genesis, we discover a description of the earth when the Spirit was hovering over the earth. That's cause for amazement. That's cause for amazement. We're told that out of the darkness we hear God speaking to call forth life and order. And we turn from that picture to the final pages of the Bible. And in those pages we find the Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up. We turn and see that. And we turn and we see all of creation and paying homage to him. This, church, is cause for amazement. From beginning to end, God's dealings with mankind are cause for amazement. But of all these things, the incarnation of the Son of God is the most amazing. And I'm going to read what is to me the Christmas story. It comes from John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came into his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Hear this. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That is the Christmas story. The Word became flesh for us. That God left heaven, the most beautiful place that we can't just mind blowing, to come down, to be born human, to be born as a normal little baby, to die on the cross for us. The Word is Jesus Christ. He became flesh. Christ became flesh for us. For us. That's what the Christmas story is about. That's the birth of Jesus. When the Word became flesh. God became man. The infinite clothed in human flesh. How can this be? Right? We can't understand it. But it's true. And that's what we need to be amazed at. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So at this time, we're going to have my beautiful wife come up and sing a song.
Better than before.
Well, let's hope so. Little background to this song. The girl that wrote it was within about a mile and a half from her house, going to a Christmas function at the church, and wrote this song from her house to the church. And it's called The Chosen One.
Mr. Fetty on drums.
Yes. And we're going to start lighting candles while she's singing. Good thing the pastor got a wife, right? Scott, can you come up and help you and Marianne light the candles? So we'll go down the rows and each of you light your own candles. Okay? Ready?
Joseph, honey, how can this be? I'm just a little girl living here in Galilee. All at once an angel came from up above with news to tell. You'll give birth to a baby boy and you'll call him Emmanuel. At that moment the whole world Mary knew what she had to do when she heard the angel say, you are the chosen one, someday you'll understand. Your child will heal the blind with just his own two hands. Yes, from now on Christmas Day, they'll all speak of his name. say, you are the one. You are the one. Christmas Eve, a child was born in a manger far away. The star was shining all around when they heard the angels say, fear not, O chosen one, I bring you tidings of great joy. The whole world will soon be saved, all because of this sweet boy. The shepherds and the wise men came with gifts on bended knee. Mary looked into his eyes and said, son, someday you'll see. You are the chosen one, someday you'll understand. You'll give sight to the blind. Just your own two hands. You should know on Christmas Day they'll all speak of your name. For you were born to say, you are the one. You are the one.
Candles. As you leave, I'm going to have a bucket up here to throw the candle in and just lay the holder on the table if you would. Yeah, you can turn the lights back on. So, as you go about your evening, let yourself be amazed. Let yourself be amazed at the birth of Christ, that why God came to earth as one of us. Not at your presence or that's under the tree or the lights on the house. Be amazed that Jesus loves you so much that he was born just to die so that you can be forgiven and have eternal life with him. Enjoy this Christmas with family and friends and open your hearts with love, peace, and joy. It is a joyous time of the year. And we need to celebrate it for the right reasons. Yes, presents are wonderful. Trees are wonderful. Our house is Griswold. But we have to remember what Christmas is all about. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord. We thank you for this time together and just for this first Christmas Eve service that we can have in our church, Lord. And we just thank you so much for guiding us and leading us and just blessing us. Lord, we thank you for sending your Son to be born, to die. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I just ask you to bless each person here, Lord. Carry them through. Lord, bless them and keep them. Protect them. Keep them safe. Keep their families safe in all their travels. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.